Anger. It's a funny little man there. Anger is something that we all face all the time. Have you ever been like really, really angry? Like, I mean, just think, and like there's different levels to it, it seems. Like there's like, I'm just a little mad, and then there's times where like you may have to go outside and take a walk because you get that angry. There's different levels to it, but I think everybody in here has been angry. And I think everybody in here has also thought and said or either did some things that are not real good when they become angry. I know I have. One of the struggles that I've had for growing up and before Christ and even once I got into Christ was how to deal with this anger, because I'm telling you, a lot of folks can let it get on them and they can turn into a completely different person once they become angry. The question is, and it's a fundamental question, is it wrong to be angry? Is that like, you know, something that we should just try to steer away from? Like, I'm never going to be angry. That's a realistic question. I think most importantly, besides that question, we'll answer that here in the lesson, is what do we do when we become angry? Are we a shell of ourselves? Do we sometimes act out? You know, if somebody looked at us when we were angry and they looked and they know us very well, do they say, man, that's a completely different person when they're angry? I can't believe they did this. Have you ever been in a situation, and I will raise my hand again, where you look back at the situation and you're like, man, I can't believe I did that. I let my anger get the best of me. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight and learning from Jesus and some of the things that he did to make sure that he didn't get in that situation, and hopefully we'll be in that as well. Stretch out your hands is what he told the guy that needed healing, and we'll get into this lesson this afternoon. What did Jesus do? You remember those little bracelets that people used to wear, WWJD, and they came in all kind of colors? I was younger then. I don't know how old I was, but I had like five of them on my wrist. What would Jesus do is a legitimate question. I like the concept, but we really have to figure out what Jesus is going to do in these situations. Mark 3:1, he entered again into a synagogue, and the man was there whose hand was withered. Jesus went in there probably to teach, probably to preach, as he's been doing in the synagogues early on in Mark. And he says, I want to go in here. And when he gets in there, he sees this man whose hand is withered. The definition there is dry, almost like dry dirt, like it's shriveled up, if you can imagine. So he goes in there and he's trying his absolute best to probably do the mission of the Lord, and he looks over there in the distance, probably with compassion, and sees this guy there with the withered hand. Now he knows that, you know what, this is a great opportunity, wonderful opportunity for me to help this man. But here's the deal. Even though he wanted to help this man, even though he saw that the man's hands was withered, even though that he knew that was the right thing to do at that moment, there were people there plotting against him. When I say people, the religious elect were there trying to make sure that they could catch him in something. See, this was a holy day, and they said, you shouldn't be doing this on this day. There's no way you should be in here healing, doing work on this day. Mark 3:2 says they were watching him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath so they may accuse him. Jesus is there just trying to do good. We'll talk about this later. How many times have you been trying to do good and then somebody's watching you to make sure if you're going to stumble or not? And that's exactly what Jesus was facing. And it gets even worse from there. They were pointing at him like, I'm trying to accuse you. Now, accusing in our sense is just like, well, this person said that person did something. But in Jesus' case, accusing him will ultimately get him to the cross. That's a big difference from accusing just saying, oh, well, you know, this person did that and I don't like it. Their accusing would ultimately get him hung on a tree to die for our sins. And we know that was part of the plan, but their accusing was a really, really big deal. But Jesus, in his wisdom, and I think we can take a lesson from this, he didn't play their games. You know, a lot of times when people push you into situations like this, their intention is not to really do good. Their intention is to play games from the beginning. They don't have pure intentions. Their intentions are to get you caught up, just like these folks are trying to get Jesus caught up. They really would have been focused. They'd have been saying, great, here is Jesus. He ultimately comes in here. We know that he is more powerful than us because we've seen some of the things that he's doing. So we should be concerned about him healing this man. But no, we're not concerned about that. We're concerned about, is he going to break some kind of rule that we can say, aha, I got you. And that's what they did. And Jesus says, I'm not going to do it. In Mark 3:3 there, he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. Now, he knows all these people around him are trying to accuse him. He knows that these people are watching him. He can read the thoughts of men because he is God on this earth, and he knows every situation of every thought that's going on with these people, and he still tells the man, get up and come forward. Not going to be concerned about what you guys are thinking. Not going to be concerned about what your motives are and all that. Jesus said, I am going to do the right thing. Again, we'll talk about this later, but if you can look at this situation and look at all the things that are going around, and you have all these big, powerful religious people there who are just saying, oh, well, you know, he shouldn't be doing this. They're thinking evil thoughts about Christ Jesus, and he said in the midst of all of that, I'm still going to do the right thing. This man has a withered hand. I'm Christ Jesus. I can help him, so therefore, I'm going to help him. He does something that's interesting. He turns it back around on them, which is a tactic that I really like. He flips it back on them. He begins to ask them a question. When one thing I really noticed about this is he could have instantly at that moment just did a whole bunch of godly things because he's God. But at that moment, he didn't do that. He flipped it back on them and he asked them a question. And the question is Mark 3 and 4. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. Man, it's like the attitude of man has not changed. The same things that were going on then are going on now. If you bow down and play those games, people will do all kinds of things. But we need to learn from Jesus and take a step back and flip it around on them. And he flipped it back around on them. And when he did flip it back around on them, they had absolutely nothing to say. As a lot of times you'll face today when we're going through things, we'll get to the application of this later, but just a quick moment, when people say stuff to you to try to throw you off track and try to get you upset and try to get you off your game, flip back on them. You have nothing to defend. We have the truth. Just put it back on them. Don't play their games. And that's exactly what he did. And all this, these are religious elect people who are so wise that they can challenge Christ Jesus, had nothing to say when he posed a question back to them. Isn't that a marvelous thing? They had absolutely nothing to say. Mark 3 and 5 says, after looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, is just grieved, just troubled by the hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and it was restored. So Jesus did something there that we all can take a cue from. We looked at the slide that says do the right thing. I think sometimes we may stop there. I know that was part of my problem sometimes and still in. I know the right thing to do, and I say in my mind, Buck, you need to do the right thing. But then I actually have to follow through and do the right thing. And sometimes we think those two are connected, like I say it is and I know it is, and actually doing it are connected, but they can be a world apart. And what Jesus did was connected to, and I think it was brilliant. He knew that he needed to help the man, and he actually went forward and helped the man in spite of all the conditions. And man, we can take a lot of lessons from that. See, sometimes we think that we're going to be prepared for things when it comes our way. Sometimes we think that we're going to be able to just predict when things come away. If that was the case, we wouldn't need the scriptures. If we knew every time somebody was going to come throw us off our game, if we knew every time somebody was going to come say something to upset us, if we knew all of those things, then why would we need to prepare? Why does Paul spend all this time telling us to be watchful and prepare and arm yourselves? Why does Christ Jesus say we need to watch out for these things, stay on the narrow road? How come they keep saying all these things if we know it's coming? The point of it is we don't know what's coming, so we have to be prepared and actually do what the scriptures say when it's time to do it. It's a disconnect sometimes. Again, we know what to do, but sometimes we may not always follow through. And Jesus actually followed through. So when you think about this, and you think about Christ Jesus, and you think about the things that he did and said in this moment, we need to just take a step back. You know, even me, I look at these few short verses here at the beginning of Mark 3, and I say, what can I learn from Christ Jesus? What can I really pick up from what he did? It's so brilliant in this moment. I mean, I know we sit here and we're probably thinking, oh, Jesus, you know, told the man to stretch out his hands. But he was in the middle of their synagogue, in the middle of their meeting place, when all the pressure was on him. We're thinking, oh, well, this is God doing this. No wonder. No, Jesus was a man while being a God, and he felt some of the same things that we felt. And yet he did it perfectly. And so I think we should just take a step back and really break down exactly what happened here and examine it and let it sink into our minds. The first thing that I'll say about this, it's not sinful to become angry. You know, if it was sinful to become angry, then Jesus would have sinned. And we know Jesus didn't sin. So therefore, if the scripture says in Mark 3:6 there that he got angry, then it must not be a sin to become angry. It's a completely 100% natural occurrence to be angry. Folks are going to do things to you, and that's just our human genes that we have to become angry. Some get angry, you know, faster than others, but the truth remains is nobody here in this congregation or anybody here visiting is going to walk around and not become angry. If that's the goal, we've already failed. Because if Jesus said there in you know, in Mark 3:6 there that he got angry, surely when things come our way, it's going to get up under our skin too. The question is not about if we're going to become angry or not. We know we're going to be angry from time to time. The question, therefore, is what do we do when we become angry? Our response is everything. If somebody can just come along and make you angry and then or make me angry and then we just start flipping over chairs and all kinds of stuff, that's not good. Have you ever seen somebody who was really struggling with their anger? When you looked at it from the outside, it was almost like, you know, I've even seen this on shows and studies on this where people say they get so angry, where they get so just caught up in the moment, they say they feel like they're watching themselves as they behave the way that they behave. They feel like they don't have any control over it. They're just out there doing all this stuff. The problem, and they're like, well, you know, you go through all these therapists, right? And these therapists are saying, well, the problem is, you know, don't get angry. You know, you need to not let yourself get there. And I'm like, well, that's not what I read in the Bible. The Bible says that you're going to get angry. But what I need to learn from Christ Jesus is I need to deal with it the appropriate way once I get there. And that's something that we can learn from him. You know, a lot of people are letting their anger just completely control them. And that's not something that we should be able to do as Christians, is let our anger get us to the point where we're doing something that's contrary to God's word. We have all of these instructions in this Bible where we are supposed to pray and we're supposed to do all these wonderful things that won't let us get to the point that we're having bad reactions to our anger. And I can tell you from experience, if it goes unchecked, if it just goes out there wandering alone, before you know it, we'll be looking at yourself like, man, why did I do that? One thing that I noticed about Christ in all of this, one thing that I really picked up is that, and even reading through the Gospels, that Christ always was doing good. And I know I just say that like, oh, well, Christ was doing good. It's like, well, you know, Christ, of course he was doing good. He's the Son of God. He's going to do good. I mean, what else can he do? I mean, he kind of has to do good. What I mean by that is in the situations where a normal person wouldn't do good, Christ Jesus was still doing good. In a situation where everybody else, when you have those hairs on the back of your neck standing up, when you're in a situation where it's like, man, that lady says one more word to me, she is going to get it this afternoon right here in this store. You know, we're faced with all kinds of things on this earth. We're faced with, you know, people judging you just because of the way you look. We're faced with racism. We're faced with social prejudices. We're faced with all these different things. And I know we could get to the point sometimes where it's like, man, and I've said this before, let him say one more thing to me. One more thing, and he's going to see who I am today. And that's not an appropriate response. The appropriate response is to always remember to do good. And the most important thing about this is one of the best ways to do good is to control ourselves in a moment like that. When everybody else is out here just acting up, letting anger get to the best of them, if we can have control over ourselves and still look like Christ Jesus in the face of our anger, that is a wonderful way to do good and bring glory and honor to him. Amen? And I know I said a lot there, but I want us to realize that anger is something that we can deal with if we remember what Jesus did. Now, we can be angry in different situations. You know, I sometimes think, and this was a big problem of mine coming in the brotherhood, you know, getting up out of the water. I thought all of you were perfect, right? I thought every one of you were perfect. When I came up out of the water in Texas, I was like, look at all of these perfect people. And that lasted for like 8 seconds. And then I realized none of us are perfect, including myself. That's why we always need Christ Jesus. But when we're out there doing the work of the Lord, you would think that we're not going to be faced with situations because we're doing work for the Lord. And then we look at Jesus. here in Mark 3, and he was doing the work of the Lord. This man there had a withered hand. He's doing work for the Lord, and he got angry. So surely when we're out there doing the work for the Lord, we're going to get angry. When evangelizing, we're out there trying to talk to folks, we're saying that we want to be a group that goes out and spreads the word of God, which is commendable, which is biblical. But let me tell you, it's going to be frustrating sometimes. I'll take it a step further. Sometimes it's going to make you angry that you're out there trying to give the good news to people, and they act like you're giving them poison, and it's going to make you angry. You know, I talk to my blood brother in Georgia all the time. We talk almost every day. You know what we talk about most of the time? He says, brother, I'm out there trying to have this study with these people. I know they need Christ Jesus. I've been trying everything I can to talk to them, and they treat me like I'm a complete idiot, and it makes me angry. And on the days that he calls me, I say, hey, man, remember what Jesus did in this situation, how he felt all this adversity, and how he was in the synagogue teaching, and he dealt with it this way. He's like, man, I'm glad that you said that. And then the next day, I'm talking to somebody, and I call him, man, let me tell you, I'm talking to these people, and they made me angry. He has to remind me of the same thing, because all of us have this struggle. Just because we're doing the Lord's work, that doesn't mean that we're going to not be angry. Still is our response to that. What about dealing with the brethren? I got this picture off the website, and I'm pretty sure that that's Richard up there. Is that Richard? Look at him. But what about dealing with the brethren? You know, this is something that we rarely talk about. This is something that we rarely spend any time, you know, really just working through. Are we going to become angry with the brethren? It's going to happen sometimes. Should we? No. It's going to happen sometimes because, again, like I was talking about this morning, we don't know the intentions behind things. You know, we assume a lot of stuff. You know, I'm guilty of this too. We assume a lot of stuff about the brethren. Well, they should have done this, and they should have done that, and they become angry. And then before you know it, it's like I've said something that I shouldn't have said to the brethren when I could have just took a step back and said, wait a minute, let's evaluate this situation. Just because we're dealing with the brothers, just because we're dealing with the brethren, just because we're dealing with all of the saints in Christ Jesus, that doesn't mean that we're going to walk around here and not be angry. Again, the response is key. What are we going to do on that when we get angry with brother such and such or sister so and so? I got another situation for you in the struggle. You know, when you feel like you're out there by yourself and you feel like, man, I got all this sin that I'm dealing with and I'm trying to do it and I'm trying to I'm trying my absolute best to get rid of, to kick this habit. And Lord knows I am trying. I'm waking up in the morning praying. I'm going to bed at night praying, asking God to help me with this struggle that I have. And then I feel like I'm doing good for 2 days, and bam, I fell right back down. And it's like you get angry at yourself for that. You're like, why can't I get this right? Why can't I just put this down so that I can move on and do all these other things? And when somebody said something to me wise one day, they said, you know, that's part of being a Christian. Time you master this, you're going to go over here and start struggling in something else. I didn't realize that, but it's so true. Being angry about certain things just does us no good. We have to realize that there's a bigger picture. I think this is the appropriate time to talk about that bigger picture. Watch out for mission drifting, focused on the big picture. Church, there's a higher reason why we're here. We talked about that last Sunday with our bodies, and it's to glorify God. Our mission here is not to just, you know, tame ourselves for the sake of taming ourselves. The mission is to glorify God in all situations, even when we get upset. You know, I'll say this, anger is one of those things when it has like a trickle effect, right? It's like, what happens when you get so angry that you say something to somebody that you can't take back? Like, for real, have you ever been in a situation where you've said something that you just can't take it back? All these things come out of our mouth all the time, and then we say it because we're angry and we can't take it back. And then 10 minutes later, we're not angry anymore, and we wish we would have never said what we said. Me, myself, personally, I've hurt people because I've said something in a moment of anger. And afterwards, I realized that I shouldn't have said that. I should have been like Christ and carried on with the mission. Let's keep the big picture in mind when it comes down to dealing with this. Again, it's to bring glory and honor to him. And we can say one thing, just one thing to the right person, and it could devastate them for a long time. They could be living with it for a long time. Let's not do that. Let me tell you something else about anger. It also should be temporary. When we're dealing with our spouses, now my wife doesn't know anything about this because, you know, I don't do anything to make her upset. But when we're dealing with spouses, we're dealing with kids, we're dealing with all these things, anger should be temporary. It should not be something that just sits there like on the stove when you turn it on, it's just simmering there. No, that's not what I see here in the Bible, what Jesus did. When I look at what Jesus did in Mark 3 there, he said, you know, he was angry. The next thing I know, it moved on. He didn't just sit there and let it fester. Let me tell you something. I brought this picture up, husband and wife, because I know that it can happen. I've been there where you feel like everything is coming down, but now it's like, gotta live like Christ. It's not worth it, number one. Number two, when I cool off, I'm going to wish I didn't say what I said. So let me just move on from it. There's no need for me to keep saying this, because it's not going to do us any good. Let me tell you what Jesus did ultimately that really, really impressed me about him. He says to this man in the midst of all of this, stretch out your hand. He says, man, you people have made me upset. You people have done some things that are just wrong. I'm in here trying to heal this man. You're caught up in the technicalities. I'm here trying to bring glory and honor to God. I'm trying to do all of these good things, and you just want to bring me down. And in the midst of all of that, when he probably was like, man, if anybody ever had the nerve or the right to say this sentence that I'm about to say, you don't know who you're dealing with, it was Jesus. He had the right to say at that moment, you don't know who you're dealing with. But he didn't. He just said, hey, man, I know I got this job to do for the Father. Let me take my step back. Remember we said we talk about the sacrifices all the time with him, how we just think about the cross. Let me tell you, this was a sacrifice for him to be able in that moment in the synagogue where these people looking down on him when he was the very reason they're supposed to be there in the first place. And he just said, you know what? Let me take myself out of the way. I know I'm Christ Jesus. Let me move over here. And hey, man, stretch out your hand so I can heal you. If that doesn't make you understand the nature of this man we call Christ Jesus, I don't know what will. He put himself to the side, and he's the Son of God, to help this man when all these people were looking down on him, when they clearly had no idea that they were dealing with the Son of God, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have hung him to a tree and crucified him. So I say we need to learn from Jesus. We need to refocus when we get in these situations where we have let ourselves get angry and we have let ourselves get outside of our box that we're supposed to be in to bring glory and honor to God. We need to refocus like Jesus did. He said, I'm not going to let you trip me up. I'm not going to do that. Jesus said, stretch out your hands. What can we do? The first thing we can do is we can read the Bible when we get in these situations. I know a lot of you are like, oh, that's kind of corny, you know, to pick up the Bible when I'm really upset. I don't know if that's a realistic thing. And let me tell you something, church. I know it works. When I've been in situations where I'm upset at work, where somebody does something to me, my boss is 3,000 miles away, by the way. And sometimes, you know, in previous bosses, especially the one before this one, they will call and say something to me and just get me to the point where I wanted to scream. I said, you know what? I'm going to stop, go in my office, I'm going to close my door, I'm going to read about this Christ Jesus. Then I read about how he was strung up to a tree and how he was reading the thoughts of these people as he was going up. And I said, I am mad at these people for this little thing. When my Savior did this for me, let me go out here and bring glory and honor to him and show them I'm a servant of Christ Jesus. I'm not going to bow down to do what they're doing. I'm not going to get myself in a situation that's going to mess up my salvation. I work hard for this, and I'm just not going to do that. So when I read the Bible, it really helps. And I'm telling you, church, Jesus said, stretch out your hands. You can pick up your Bible and read it in the face of your anger. I know it works. And another thing that you can do is you can pray. We were talking about this earlier. Somebody said it in Bible class. I think Roy said it this morning. You don't have to go and pray for 10 hours. You could just step aside and have an earnest prayer with God and say, God, I am upset right now. I pray for peace. Now, he said in Philippians 4 there that the peace of God which surpasses all understanding is going to be with you. You don't think if you pray for it, he won't give it to you? You don't think that if you go to him earnestly and say, God, I need a little peace in this situation because these people are driving me crazy. I know he'll give it to you. I'm a witness to he will give you that peace. Pick up his Bible and pray to him. These people that are out there doing this stuff to you, whether they admit it or not, he's their God too. I want us to understand that he's in control of everything. I want us to stop and think about the big picture. We talked about that. This big picture is way bigger than us. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I knew I did something in a fit of anger that stopped somebody from being able to come to Christ Jesus. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night, church. You know, we do these things, and we got to remember that people are watching everything that we do. As soon as we open our mouths and say that I am a follower of Christ Jesus, whether they want to admit it or not, they're going to watch you like a hawk. And fair or not, I never said anything about being fair, but fair or not, when you open your mouth and say that, and you get upset, they're watching to see what you're going to do. You got two options. You can obey your flesh. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. You can either obey your flesh and say, you don't know who I am, or we've already decided that Jesus is the only one that's qualified to say that, or you could do some of these things that we talked about and say, I'm going to bring glory and honor to him. You know what? Because Jesus did it when he got angry, so how come I can't? They expect for me to act a fool. You know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand at him. I'm going to deal with them the way that God told me to deal with people. Not because I owe it to them, but because I owe it to him. Let's remember that when it comes down to dealing with these situations. Control it. Don't let it get the best of you. And I'll say this. Lastly, do good things. I hear people saying all the time, I need opportunities to do this, and I need opportunities to do that. I need opportunities to bring glory and honor to God. I bet you never thought that you could be doing that in a fit of anger. But in everything that we do, we can bring glory and honor to him. No matter what the situation is, somebody makes you mad, who cares? Bring glory and honor to him. You get to a point where one of your brothers did you bad, don't matter. Bring glory and honor to him. You're on your job and somebody is doing something that is just, you know, is wrong. Doesn't matter. Bring glory and honor to him. In all situations, bring glory and honor to God. Amen. I hope this message has helped you, because it helped me in the process of writing it. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian and anger is something that you have not been necessarily able to control, you get angry and you're doing things that are contrary to God's word because of your anger, then come now and speak to the church and ask for the prayers. You never know. It could be some saints around here right now that's been where you are at. That's been where you're at and know, like, you know what, I used to be like that, but let me tell you how I got through it. And if you're not a Christian, come on the winning team. Do what God has told us to do from the very beginning. Confess, believe, repent, be baptized. Live a Christian life. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.